All right, a little bit different for the week in review this week. It's not a week in review. We're trying something a bit different, as I always do on the pod. We're going to try the NRL fan season review. We did have a third member, but we're having some technical difficulties, so he's opted out. So it's me and my new panelist, Steve Cato, my old mate from Fox Sports. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Ian. It's good to be here, talk some rugby league and have a few laughs, hopefully.
I've no doubt that every time I talk to you, I laugh. So, the other idea is that down the track, we're looking to open it up to you guys, the listeners and the viewers, as everyone in the game seems to want to have their say. And you've got to jump on social media and see how vocal people are with their opinions. So, we thought we'll give people a platform so you get to come on here and share your thoughts and ideas. So, that's something for you to keep an eye out for. And we open that up to applications to come on. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Let's just start off with a more of a general look at the season, Steve. But for me, it was an absolute cracker. What were your thoughts?
I couldn't agree more, mate. I'm a long-suffering Dragons fan, so she's been a long slog since the glory days of 2010, let alone before that. So it's been a long slog, and probably the interest has waned a little bit. But this year, just couldn't speak highly enough of the games, the teams. Probably across the board, there aren't too many teams that went backwards from the year before. So we finished with Origin, and just the season kicked into overdrive. It was sensational.
Absolutely, and it's hard to argue whether we've seen a better final series because just about every game was close, and some of the moments are off the chart.
Yeah. Some sensational team football, but then some individual performances back end. I know we'll talk about later was just something to remember for a while.
Let's start with our own teams. So let's dive into the Dragons. You're probably going to come from a bit of a different angle, but they surprised me. I know they finished 15th, but there's a few of those close games that they win, including when we got you in a one pointer early in the season that you could have won. You could have so easily been not just in the eight, but well into the eight with a few different results. There were some performances from those old bloke, Cookie, Gutho, that quite impressed me a lot. I don't know what your thoughts are. I think in a way you overachieved from what I thought you were going to do early in the year.
I couldn't agree more, mate. It's clear that the Dragons have gone down the path of recruiting a few old heads to try and set the season up and the team up for the future. Now, I thought Clemmer up front had one of his best years for a long time. And to see some of those young forwards come through, it's been a long time since the Dragons have really focused on recruitment from a junior base and really developing that local Illawarra talent, especially. And those forwards coming through, we've got a couple of great outside backs. So while the season, unfortunately, is another miss for semi-final football, I think the upside this time around is huge. I know you talk about your team. We've got Daniel Anderson now in the recruitment space. He's seriously switched on. So the focus on that junior talent coming through, I think Flanagan's ticked a major box this season. Got a few games under their belt, and they'll be all the better for it in the next season or two.
Yeah, 100%. Oh yeah, I'd forgotten about Clemmer. Like he played like a bastard at the Tigers, and then he comes over there and he I'm sure you were thinking the same thing. Like what have we bought here? But he was impressive.
Yeah, 100%, mate. I think Flanagan knew that we were going to have some losses this year, so try and get the Cookies and the Clemmers, the Vowels in there that, while they're going to be doing everything they can to win games, they're not going to take the losses as hard as some of those young fellas coming through. So, mate, can't speak highly enough of the direction the club's in. I'd love to see them higher up the ladder, obviously, but just huge starting point and step forward for Flanagan this year. For me, it's an overachievement and heading in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And they also struggle with some of those younger guys that you mentioned, particularly in the forwards getting injured. And the money man and the winger, you copped a few as well. Like you, some guys that were really performing well, getting busted at the end of the year, that really probably impacted how the season fizzled out as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you expect that, especially the young forwards, for them to put their body through a whole season. A lot of them hadn't played NRL for a whole year before, or many games at all for that matter. So that's expected, the wear and tear on the body. So they'll have a really good off season. The reserve grade made it to the grand final, got beaten by a very, very impressive Warriors side. So to see that coming through the club, at least there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel that they're investing in the future, mate.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm by no means a Dragon supporter, but I hope they stick with Flano, because I think if they do, like what we've seen there, is that they're hard to beat. They play physical and relentless football like you'd expect from Flanagan's teams. And I think it's heading in the right direction, as you say.
Yeah, huge.
And God knows when it's good to feel like your team's heading in the right direction, because I think that's the same for Parra. Like we've been a bit up and down, and it was pretty clear we weren't going to be good enough to sort of break through to that next level. Oh, the other thing I was going to say about the Dragons is, considering really nothing to get excited about in your halves, it's hard to perform any better than. But I think that's probably the big tick, is like if you can find a someone. Someone falls out of the tree in this off season, which there's every chance they will. That's going to be a massive upside too.
Yeah, definitely. There's Aikens is coming from the Sharks, so he didn't get much first grade time this season, unfortunately, but he's coming next year, so that'll certainly help. I think, poor old Flanagan cops it because of his old man. I thought he was solid. He's
Agree.
obviously not Origin caliber, but he was certainly solid for what we need. He was one of our better players, I thought.
Absolutely.
But hopefully there's talk of a few others that are on the market, Metcalf and Campbell, that we're hopefully having a crack at. So certainly that'd help with the young forward pack and outside backs. We've got no question.
100%. Yeah, and I think, Parra shows the importance of having halves and how much we missed Mitch when he wasn't there. But also, I was quite surprised on how Dean Hawkins came on, because he'd had some mixed results at South, but he was a much better footballer than I thought. I don't know if that's good coaching or whether he's a young bloke that's kind of just suddenly feeling more comfortable in first grade. Now, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was probably his best season. I heard Ryle speak on a podcast only just recently. I was super impressed. It's the first time I've probably heard him talk. So whether it's a new environment, halves take a little bit longer, obviously, to mature than some of the other positions. But he was really good. Obviously, the signing news this morning, whether it's confirmed or still rumour about Jonah Prezzard to next year, that'll certainly help with Moses in the halves there, just taking a little bit of pressure off. But similar story, I only at fullback. You guys have got some sensational young footballers coming through.
Two number nines are pretty handy too, I reckon. Like we, the I don't think anyone's expecting Riley Smith to be as good as he was. And then, Iongi, you were hopeful that he was going to be good with all the talk, but he was unbelievable. The signing news, they're referencing it as if it's fact, and it's come from a Code Sports article as if it's happened. I find it hard to believe that after Ryles was so vocal on we're picking a team for the future and not picking Dylan Brown, that he's going to take Pezzard on a 1 year deal. I just can't see that that's something they've agreed to.
Yeah, no, as I said, potentially strong rumour. So look, it'd be an upside win for a short term, but to your point, I think Rolls is trying to build, from the outside looking in, Rolls is trying to build something that is a long term sustainable, club. So it is a little bit strange, but certainly the Broncos would be getting the upside if they got Pezzard after a year at Para
Oh,
for
next
first
week,
grade.
yeah, 100%. Especially after his all his development of the Storm. Do you reckon that, like, Ryles might have chosen to not take the Dragons job because he knows what a fishbowl it is, and how much pressure as the next Dragons boy he might have walked into there?
Well, even talking, hearing him talk again on the podcast, I mentioned looking back at those early 2000s after the merge with Elawarra after Super League, they were just in the fishbowl. Like they were the club. You know, they had all those internationals, all the State of Origin players. And the pressure on them from the fans was just huge. You know, and look, traditionally the front office of the Dragons over the last 10 or so years has been an absolute mess. So the upside for him being a rookie coach and having a little bit more support, I think for him the Eels has, you know, been a lot easier transition for him. Where the Dragons desperately needed a Flanagan, they needed someone who could take on that extra burden. So I think it's worked out well for both clubs the coaching route they've gone down.
Yeah, absolutely. And just personally as a fan, it was like I was sick of hearing Brad Arthur talk about just got to chase the collision and like just that one dimensional, you know, physicality, whereas Ryles, like, again, this may be biased, but I feel like he's getting them playing one of the most attractive brands of footy in the comp, like getting them to shift from anywhere from a kickoff, early in set. I've really enjoyed, like, you know, when you've been going out there as a season ticket holder for a lot of years and watching Bash and Barge and not really sure which Eels are going to show up, the consistency they developed at the back end of the year where you just felt like they were just about in every game except for a one or two blowouts earlier in the year. It was a refreshing change.
Yeah, I certainly think a fit Mitch Moses next year with another season under the fullback's belt, obviously pending what they do in the halves, you know, there's certainly top eight potential there for them, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get to most impressive performances. I'd love your thoughts on this, that you could make a case for so many different teams, but for me, the standout performance, if you just look at the well, I was going to say home and away season, because you know, really, it's not really that full home and away season, but the season proper, like the Raiders in terms of. I don't think, apart from maybe Ricky himself, but I don't know if even he would have seen them going as well as they did. They again, talk about watchable, but they were such a good team to watch, and for me, they're the most impressive performance if you take out the finals.
Yeah, no question. Home and away, the Raiders were phenomenal. They had to go to Vegas. You know, traditionally the teams that have gone to Vegas have really struggled when they've come back home. But
Look at the
they
Panthers.
were
The
really good.
Panthers. Off the back of Vegas.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So, you know, I know the Warriors did well as well from going over there, but the Raiders, again, you talk about it seems to be a pretty regular thing we're bringing up already. This young talent coming through the NRL at the moment. But Ethan Strange, especially, had a huge season. But some of those young outside backs that they've got coming through, some really experienced front rowers, they were just phenomenal. Going down to Canberra clearly isn't an easy task at the best of times, but they were just over and above the best side, no question.
Scramble defense, even some of those games where they got away from at the end, you still felt like they were in it. Like, mate, you got a feel for them. The team that's won the comp, they beat them twice. I know, like, in my opinion, both of those were the correct calls, but it would have been hard to pick themselves up the week after. I know when Parra in 2017 went to Melbourne and gave him a great run and got dudded by like a 10 meter forward pass and then a knock on and it was a game that they probably would have walked away feeling like they should have won. Well, we got towed up against the Cowboys without Thurston the following week in a game that you just think like should have won. I just think that's probably what happened to the Raiders. It's too a bridge too far to get themselves up the next week.
Yeah, it just would have been devastating for them to be able to try to come up and build themselves back up again, a young team, with the exception of the forwards, like those young backs, to try and get themselves back up again emotionally after what happened. It just must have been so draining for them. So you sort of feel for them. Hopefully, they take a lot out of it, of what they've achieved and the experiences. But yeah, you got to feel that was just a little bit too hard for them to overcome at the end.
Absolutely. Who else did you have for teams? Impressive performances.
Well, look, I went the other way to you, mate. I thought what the Broncos did was just phenomenal. So they just continued to get better as the season went on. You know, I'm a huge Maguire fan, and you know, there was a lot of scuttlebutt, as he likes to use the word, early in the season. But they just kept getting better. The longer the season went, the more they bought in as a team, the more they played together, and to see what they did through that final series as a group. Some of those big name players just stood up individually, but then together they were just too hard to overcome. And for three double digit deficits in the final, I can't remember seeing anything like it, you know. So to make the top four was obviously a pretty big achievement in a home and away season, but what they did in the finals just peaked when it mattered and was just phenomenal. So, you know, for me, I've got to give it to the Broncos for just the way they finished the year was, yeah, simply phenomenal.
Absolutely, and as much as it pains me to say, they were playing a sort of football that had me on the bandwagon. You kind of align yourself to a team, and I'm like, oh, I like it. Yeah, I don't like this, but that's who I'd love to see win. Same thing. Like, I think it's like, I think every New South Wales fan, after what he did last year, we'd be on board. And I did enjoy him shutting up a few of those so-called experts, just giving it to him all year. That was fantastic.
Yeah, boss.
I really liked. I thought the Sharks were just no hope, and I actually really liked what they did towards the back end. And like I wrote a few articles and a couple of podcast episodes about Nico and saying maybe, you know, there was some mental deficiencies, but he certainly stepped up. And I reckon they were probably, yeah, had a few things go wrong in that prelim that maybe sent them back. And I'll let you share your thoughts on that a sec. I just want to include the Panthers. At first, when the Panthers started to come good, because I remember watching them early in the season and thinking they look like they're playing like a bunch of strangers, and I said they are done. But I just thought, what a story! Even though it's five in a row, what a story that would have been to come from where they'd come and won. And I even think the fact that they got as far as they did from where they came was a pretty impressive performance as well.
Yeah, well, they're running last halfway through the season and just all hopped on and away they went. It was another phenomenal season for them. Obviously, Cleary and Yeo, but you know, everyone talks about who they've lost every single year. But to lose a half and a front rower was just too much, I think. You know, it just must be just mentally and physically such a burden to be up that constant. You know, a lot of them play Origin, they all play test matches at the end of the season. So for them to be up for such a long period of time, it's just unbelievable. I think Fisher Harrison and to a lesser degree, the 5-8 who went to the Tigers,
Why? Yeah.
Luai, yeah. I think you know, that Fisher Harris was certainly the alpha. So I think that hurt them a little bit as well, but phenomenal effort to be able to be in there again. And you know, with all due respects, they could have won it again. That was how close they were. It was
100%.
really special.
Yeah, I think Ivan said he probably underestimated, you know, we've got a system. He underestimated some of those outside players actually getting on board with the system. Well, we're talking Panthers. Moses Leota, what a player.
Yeah.
He
I'm
comes on the
surprised he
field.
hasn't.
Keep going.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, he comes on the field after a spell, and straight away, if you're a fan of the opposing team, you just get on edge because it just happens around him.
I'm surprised he hasn't played more rep football. I know he played a few years back, but yeah, huge fan. You know, you talk about losing Fisher Harris. Well, he picked him up on his back. As far as that middle section, you know, Yeo's obviously that ball playing, especially in the opposition's half. So he really did a lot of the heavy lifting. Just picked him up on his shoulders and tried to get him over the line. He was really, really strong in the middle, but again, it's been 5 or 6 years with him. It's not a, it's nothing new, right?
Well, it's not, but also he's not been a traditionally the play one prop. He's usually come in off the back of back four and then Fisher Harris, so he's having to sort of play a bit of a different role, although I guess Lindsay Smith did a bit of that. But yeah, all the more impressive without his sparring partner there. Individuals, like, you can have a say on Reece if you want, but I think it goes without saying that, like, in terms of performances, what he did in the back of the year, off the charts. But I tell you, a guy that he's like my favourite non-para player, and that's Katoni Staggs. I think he's been really unlucky to not play more rep football. And the reason I like him is why usually I like most players is he's just an animal. He's just wholehearted and he does not stop. That try he scored against the Dolphins last year when it was just like brutality, mate, hasn't he come on? this year. Like, what a freak. I hope he does well for Australia, and I hope he's in Origin next year.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, mate. Look, I had Reece Walsh down for the way, again, similar to the Broncos, the way he finished the year was just simply phenomenal. Look, Stags is a Maguire type of footballer, right? He's hard nosed. He takes the ball and he pounds it into the opposition. He's strong in defence. He's robust. So he's the perfect prototype for Maguire. So he had a really good season. Look, I thought, I mentioned him earlier, I thought Ethan Strange from the Raiders was, for his first, full proper season, he was massive. I thought he really changed the Raiders. He straightened them up a lot and was really hard carrying with the football. You talk similar to Staggs in that instance. I thought he was big. Look, I've got them down, and we'll talk about them in a little while. I see the Sharks season a little bit different to yours around a little bit disappointment, but there were a couple of players with the Sharks that I thought individually did really well as well. So, their back five never played together until the semi-finals. So I thought individually they all tried hard. They just weren't all on the field at the same time, which sort of hurt the Sharks a little bit. But yeah, look, I don't know. I could sit here and name 20 for you. And the season just really produced some really standout performances.
It did, and I think with Ethan Strange, what we saw with him not being available for the elimination semi, like just how much the Raiders missed him, because like you said, he straightened up the attack. And what it made me think of, again, this is like a para-bias comment, but from the first minute that Dylan Walker set foot on the park for Para, like our whole attack changed. And I remember talking to a few fans as we walked out, and we were like blown away, going, "Man, like didn't realise this guy could play," because we suddenly looked completely different. They showed talked his Para's net score or whatever, and when Walker was on, we were +34, and when he was off, it was -12 or something. Like, if he's playing for one of the top end teams, you're talking about stats that people would just be marveling at. And I think Ethan Strange is definitely that for the Raiders as well.
He was.
Couple of mentions. Kyo Weeks, mate, what a freak. Only a kid. Izzy Katoa, only a kid. Terrell May, he was enormous, like statistically. And then also, my old mate Gutho, when we did boo him when he came back to CommBank, by the way. I thought he was busted. His last couple of years at Parra, he was slow. He couldn't pass one direction. He had to turn. But his try, fifth line break assist. He had a good year for you, blokes.
He certainly did. He carried that burden at the back. A lot of young fellas coming through. So he was great. The other one, they don't get much mention. They're on the other side of the ditch. But I thought Aaron Clark stepping up in the middle for the Warriors. They got a lot of injuries. The New South Wales front rower went down from in the back half. So he was huge through the middle for them. No frills, just works hard, does a really good job. So I thought he was certainly someone that stood up for him.
Absolutely. Most disappointing teams. I've already touched on the Dragons, how they fell away because I thought they had good things. Cowboys again. But the two that most disappointing for me, Manly and the Titans. Titans, they had a stacked forward pack, they had a decent back line. They probably crawled a little bit by injury, but they were just disappointing. But Manly, you watch Manly for a half look like the best team in the competition. There was a half against Melbourne. There was a half earlier on in the year. I remember when we played them, they played a half where it was like, "Oh, this is going to be 50." They were so good. And then it's almost like they do 20-minute patches or halves, and it just completely changes. Unbelievable.
Look, agree with both. I think the Titans are a bit of a mess in the front office by the looks of it. Hopefully, Hennay can get a bit of support around him and get them back on track. It's such an important area. I'm up here in southeast Queensland. The Gold Coast is such an important area from a junior base and bringing those pathways through. So really hope the Titans can get themselves sorted from a front office perspective. But yeah, look, disappointed again. Manly, they're just nowhere near where they need to be. I think the roster's all over the place. I don't think the front office, you talk about problems again with the front office, they just seem to be making one error after another. They're always in the media for doing the wrong thing. The saga with DCE,
Debacle.
was a nightmare. We just went through the turbo re-signing again. Everything just seems to come out of the wrong thing for them. But I had the Sharks, and I tell you the reason I had the Sharks is, while I agree with you what happened at the end, it's just Groundhog Day for the Sharks. So they've got this ripping team, and they make the semi-finals, and they get to the first week, second week of the semi-finals, and the same thing happens again. I don't know whether, if you think across the Sharks, and I agree with what you mentioned earlier around Nico, but they don't have the best player in that position in the competition at any position.
No.
Right. So, they've got Fenua Blake, they've got Nico, they've got Brayley had a huge season towards the end of it. But they just can't get it done. So the Sharks, after 3 or 4 seasons, are doing this, making the decision that everyone in the Sharks organization is happy just to get to second week of the semi.
Four. Yeah.
If that's what they're doing, that's obviously up to them. They're trying to hold on to their jobs at different places in the organization. But if they really want to make a kill and get a comp, which this year could have been that year for them, obviously
Yeah.
Penrith fell away. There just needs to be something different. They need to either go out and recruit that marquee signing, or something has to change. Because if we're sitting here this time next year and again they've made first or second week of semi-finals, you think to yourself, that's just a bit of a waste.
It's like Para in the previous 5 years, or not last two, but 22, 19, 18 to 22, 17 to 22, 18 we got the wooden spoon somehow, but we've played finals every other one of those years, but it was clear that they weren't going to be able to go to that next level. And I think you're 100% right. There's no excitement. Like, you don't look anywhere in that team. And yeah, they've got some good players where you go, like, Fenua Blake's amazing, but he's no longer the best prop of the comp. They've also got guys that tend to get a bit injured. Yeah, no, I think you're probably right. They're almost the only sort of thing that you can think of is that Will Kennedy, who again had a good year, but again he's not in the best fullbacks in the comp, is that they can unearth someone who's going to step into that one role that's going to light them up. Is the young Adam Dykes, his young fellow, is it Caden Dykes? Is he still down there? He got injured at some point.
I don't know whether he's still there now, but he had a pretty tough time with injury. I think this, going into this season, he was really competing with potentially grabbing that number one jersey. And I know he had a few injuries. I think it was with Newtown at the time, but they just need something to spark. I mean, again, if the committee and everyone is happy just to get to that week, obviously we've never met the man, but Fitzgibbon looks like he's a winner and looks like he's just whatever it takes to make it happen. So I don't think that's the case, but it just seems to me that, again, we haven't heard anything for next year about the Sharks. No one's talking about a recruitment. If they roll out the same 17 again, I don't see where the improvement's coming. And there are so many of these other teams with these young, really promising footballers coming through that are just going to get better. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and speed. Again, I think that what power of perspective roles have gone for speed, gone for future, long term, which few teams do. Most disappointing individuals for me, it tied in around Manly again, is Tommy. Like, I think any footy fan just wants to see him like 100% fit and firing again, because what he's done within challenging circumstances, like, he could have been anything, because he's quick, he's built like an absolute beast, and yeah, hard to watch, mate. So that's probably the most disappointing one for me. I got a few others down, but what were your thoughts on most disappointing
Look,
player?
I feel bad picking this bloke, but it was sort of the same theme that I had with the Sharks. I thought Jamal Fogarty struggled in the big moments of those, especially
He did,
middly. He
yeah.
didn't have Ethan Strange there, but especially when he didn't have Ethan Strange there.
Yeah.
So really tough one to put a finger on Jamal Fogarty for this, but just thought that dominant forward pack, some really good outside backs. He's not there for anything other than directional and good kicking game. And I just thought, especially that last loss they had, just wasn't quite there. And it was the same theme as the Sharks. So it's little wonder he knows what he's doing when it comes to halfbacks. Ricky Stewart, halfway through the season, let him go. It just didn't quite get there when he needed to at the end, I thought. So again, I don't know how that poses for your at least impressive team there, Manly, when he goes to Manly next year. But bloody good footballer who's going to get you through the regular season. Is he going to be able to get you that next little win? Not sure.
Not sure, and especially they've just lost DCE, who, while he obviously at 35 wasn't his best, he wasn't able to. I'm not sure Fogarty's the answer there either.
No, I agree. I think they're an injury or two away from the spoon next year, Manly. I can't see too many good things for them.
Personal disappointment around players, Pappy, just like when he was at his peak a couple of years ago before he got injured, like you just, again, you think the sky's the limit and one of those very watchable players. And then when he came back and he strung games together, he just looked like he wasn't fully, I don't know if he had the R360 thing playing in his head or whether he wasn't fully trusting his body, but as good as he was, like the pickup, I think it was in the, was it the prelim or the grand final? No, I think it was the prelim against the Sharks, like pickup off his ankles. So just still doing some magic stuff, but just not quite the player he was. And Dylan Brown, so disappointing. If like not hugely disappointed he's leaving because he's just been one of those inconsistent players, but just, the upside's unbelievable, and he's just too inconsistent again.
I think he had had a really good game this last weekend, just gone in the test. So I guess that's promising signs for the Knights, but she's a whopping deal, and they're going to need it up now, I think.
Pressure's going to be immense. Who do
Yeah.
I see? Ash Taylor. Remember, he got signed on big
Oh, yeah.
money at the Titans, and he's been interviewed, and he just talked about what an impact that the burden of that price tag had on him, and he basically disappeared from view after a year or two of not such good football.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I've got a controversial one for you, Ian.
You go.
I got Clint Newton from the RLPA. I'm not a massive fan, and
Yeah,
I
tell us
think once
why.
again, sorry.
Tell us why.
I think just once again this year he's said and done a few things that's more about getting his head on TV than actually helping the players in the game. I think what he said last week around the Rugby 360, regardless of what you think about rugby league, Rugby 360, and whether you think it's going to happen or not. I just thought it was poor form. I think he's more about trying to argue with Philandes than actually help his players. And if he gets in way of this next TV agreement and torpedoes that in any way, it's just I'm for him to step aside. But he's not. He doesn't even represent the players in the right in the right manner, mate. He's not doing the right thing for them either. And I just think if he stops worrying about trying to argue with Philandes and get himself on TV. Just concentrate on representing the players. I think he'd be far better off, mate. So I know you weren't expecting a non-player, but
I like it.
he just hasn't impressed this year, mate, again for the last three or four.
Yeah, the word is that the players do like what he's been able to do for them, but I think from a bigger picture, because the players don't know what they don't know, that the best in those sort of roles can play the game with every one of the stakeholders, and he certainly doesn't appear to be able to do that. So it will be interesting to see
100%.
what unfolds there. Most improved teams. Won't go
Oh,
like
where
in the
does
pack.
the it's a long list for me. I think we mentioned both our teams earlier. I think they've
Yep.
both improved. Certainly the Tigers, not only on the ladder, but just the way they played. I think the two May brothers were phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh,
And
mate.
Luai.
Taylor May, like, that's without a preseason. I just, like, what a weapon.
Yeah, just phenomenal for him to be able to step into that role at that level and perform the way he did was unbelievable. It simply was unbelievable. So I think look, they're not going to win the comp next year, but they've certainly improved and taken a step forward, which has been huge. We mentioned the Warriors, we mentioned the Raiders. I don't know whether there's too many that went backwards this year. There's a few teams that, stagnated, like Manly and the Cronullas of the world. But, even the Bulldogs, I thought what they did at the start of the season, it didn't finish the way they wanted to, but you can see where they're going. Thought they improved as well. It was just the standard across the board, I thought, was hugely improved from the year before.
100%. I like the Dolphins as my most improved team. And I just think, again, with injuries, plus that first 4 weeks when they had the dramas with the cyclone, they weren't putting out their best team. They were unlucky not to make the eight. And I just, again, just watchable in the contest. Katoa has been, spoken about at length, so I won't go into that. But how the forward pack, they were decimated. They just kept showing up. Herbie Farnworth gets injured. Like, he was absolutely killing it when he was out there. I think they missed him because he was someone that could just create something out of nothing. The Dolphins beat Parra in a game that they had no right to win, and that was off the back of individual brilliance from Herbie Farnworth just carving up. Well, I think they will be in and amongst that. If they can stay fit, they'll be in and amongst the battle for the top four next year, I reckon.
Couldn't agree more, mate. The fitness is the key, especially through the middle. But this front row after front row after front row went down on them. So they can look that Katoa. I know you didn't want to speak to him, but he just blew me away. I couldn't believe the hype over him. So I purposely watched a couple of games with just him. I went to one live and just watched him. He is the real deal, right? Yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah. So yeah, if they can keep their middle third fit and on the park, obviously Herbie and Hemmer are a must as well. Yeah, the sky's the limit for them, no question. Yeah,
100%. Most improved, but my number one for that, and again, just really confirmed it, watching him play for the Samoa on the weekend, Blaze Talangi. Start of the season, I was like, oh, we definitely did better out of that trade with Penrith. Iongi's been enormous. But Talangi, the back end of his year, Parra's been really good since probably the last 2 years, but especially since Roald has come in about community engagement. They had a few members' events and meeting the players. And after, he signed with Penrith at the end of season event last year, there weren't too many people talking to him, but Kate and I spent a bit of time with him. We'd actually met his auntie on his debut, like in the crowd. And so we were telling him the story about that interaction. But what a nice young fella, and just super respectful and down to earth, which is not always the case. And some of his football, on the weekend against New Zealand for a kid. I don't think he was test debut, because he might have played when he was younger.
He could have done
a handful back in last year, mate. What he is playing next to Nate the next few years, again, upside, unbelievable.
Could be huge, yeah. I had a couple of journeymen. I had, I mentioned him earlier, I thought Aaron Clark transitioned from the Titans where, look, he was a solid player. He did his job, but heading over to New Zealand, I thought he was one of the best middle forwards in the comp. I thought he was just huge. What they got out of him, you talk about people being in the right fit. He just fits in a Warriors jersey and was just phenomenal. And I thought Jaden Brayley from Cronulla, he just got better. They finally, towards the end of the season, worked out their halves, and working them out was not that either of them control the situation. Give it to Brayley to run the show. And he was really special. He just kept getting better and better. I was so happy that he made the Kangaroo tour for him, because it was well deserved and a huge end of the season. So those two blokes have been around for a while, but to see what they'd improved through this season was pretty cool. Watch, obviously we saw what Rhys Walsh did, and it's hard to say most improved on such a young bloke, because he's still got so much to go. But obviously his improvement from last year to this year was phenomenal again, right?
Yeah, the consistency, what he was able to do, like the mental strength. They talked about the middle of the year rocks and diamonds, and it was almost like the turning point was the toilet water. I love the week after the toilet water controversy. Well, no controversy. He's having a bit of fun. Him doing the celebration and everything that's come since then. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'd agree with that. Brayley, I think that's where the season transformed. Like him getting out of dummy half, like Fanua Blake's taken second carries in a set, and him just getting off the back of that nearly every time, and then forward momentum. They were a completely different side.
Yeah, certainly. That's we talked about Cronulla earlier about their plans next year. If they don't go out and catch and kill someone and bring them in, that needs to be the strategy, right? That needs to be Brayley controlling the show, and almost similar to the Storm, where you've got three fullbacks basically, the two halves and Pappy. Needs to be something similar for the Sharks. If they're going to take the next step with only the team they've got, then it needs to be Brayley's team, right? He needs to take the keys and away he goes. So, yeah, I was super impressed with him back into the year. He's always been a good footballer. His brother up at the Knights, I thought, was a sensational footballer. The Knights have been a basket case for a little while.
And he keeps getting injured.
He keeps getting injured, yeah. But yeah, he was really, really good for the Sharks.
The other two I had, Shibasaki, obviously, like from where he came to where he is now playing for Australia on the weekend, and Adam Dewey. I know it's not really an improvement, but just over the course of the year, getting the confidence back in his body, and Eli Katoa, the Storm, like that pass he threw, was it the granny? Like
Grandpa.
well, back rower,
He's
like
Boozer's talent.
mate, unbelievable, and he's one that another one of those guys that's been okay, and then he's gone to the Storm, and they've unlocked something in him that's taken to him a whole other level.
If he's not the best edge forward in the game, he's certainly in the conversation, and had a huge year. I thought even if they had won the grand final, I thought Walsh should have won the Clive. But if it wasn't going to go to Walsh, it should have been Katoa. I thought he was really good on on that edge for Melbourne, and kept them in the game probably longer than they should have been.
And he's got those plays where he wins, like he's. How do you defend when a back rower of that size and that speed is winning balls in the air from bombs and from chip kicks, and he's got an incredible skill set for a big man, and wholehearted those little 1% is unbelievable.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be one of those little halves on an edge trying to defend him, let alone the kicks problems.
Absolutely. Oh, just on that, the Storm. Why didn't they go to Coates in the granny?
Can't believe it. I don't know. You mentioned performances. You mentioned Pappy. I thought Pappy and Munster didn't have a great grand
No,
final,
no.
but you've got this weapon out on the wing, probably the best winger, in the comp. If he's not, he's again in the conversation. Aerial target just didn't go to him. Not sure what went wrong there, but it certainly wouldn't have been the plan.
No. All right, let's get to the magic moments. Again, Reece Walsh moments speak for themselves. It pains me to say, but the moment you hear about Cam Munster's dad passing, and how, like, I've been through that, and how tough it is, but I also know the origin. That's the sort of stuff that Queensland feeds off, and I knew we were done the moment that had happened. But what a performance, like a bloke grieving, phenomenal. I've got a couple other thoughts, but I'll hear your thoughts first, Steve.
Well, look, you stole my thunder. I had three. I had Brisbane's final campaign. I thought, as a collective, that was just a phenomenal performance, and the premiership win as it was on grand final day, I thought that was huge. Probably the story of the season, let's be honest. Look, State of Origin, it's also my biggest controversy. Will be State of Origin when we get to
Well,
that
we'll get to
question.
that.
But from a Queensland perspective, wow, I thought Munster's joke with his mother and King Wally was probably the most magic moment of the season. That's what kind of bloke he is by the looks of it. So that was huge. I'm an old tragic mate, so any time the Dragons run on to Cogra is a magic moment for me, Ian. But no, just the magic moments is probably the combined, just everything that happened through the year. There were so many big games, so many big performances. As I said to you earlier, it's as good a season as I can remember, mate.
Yeah, I had the miracle of Mudgee was a great night. That is the first time I've got out of my chair, like literally physically got out of the chair for a game that wasn't para.
How good sport.
Wow. And then did it, and then did it a couple of times again, in the Broncos charge, the Panthers run from nowhere. I probably talked about this last year, but I don't know, Vegas again, like the what. Like, we all think rugby league's the greatest game. And I remember after that double overtime game where the Broncos beat Raiders going, oh, tell me how football can do this. Tell me any other sport that can create that theatre. And I just love the whole Vegas experience of like of little old rugby league from, one a couple of corners of the earth. It's like, I don't know, I just felt just immense pride in what they were able to produce and just the ratings and you guarantee the other codes are jealous.
Oh, 100%. I'm lucky enough to have already had my ticket for next season to watch the Dragon
Yeah, I
front round.
bet.
Can't wait. Like to see our game, to your point, started off with the old Chook Ruffles to now be in Vegas. Just unbelievable, right? And they just keep turning up, and even just to see the community, as I said to you, I'm up here in Southeast Queensland, to see Magic Round when Caxton Street is just full for 3 days. Everyone's in good spirits. Everyone's cheering their team on, wearing their jersey. The game's it's just in a phenomenal spot right now, and it doesn't look like it's going to turn away anytime soon.
Absolutely. Oh, funny story. I might tell this full story off air, but one of our old mates I caught up with the other week and complaining about, the six agains and all this sort of stuff. And I didn't fight it, but I'm in my head. I'm like, are you joking me? Like, this is the best the product's ever been, the most watchable it's ever been. Sure, sometimes the six agains, you go, not sure about that. And sometimes the refereeing counts, like, they level them up in the second half. But that's been happening before the rule changes came in. Yeah, it's the most. I tuned out mid. Was it midway through the? I think it was probably around 2014 or something. I didn't even watch Origin 1 week. Probably sick of Queensland dominance as well. But it was just like, it was just a grind. It was a tough watch.
Look, 100%. Look, I haven't mentioned the referees, and not keen to. Couldn't agree with you more. At the end of the day, if the referees want to play a part and see themselves on the telly, they'll keep blowing their whistle, keep giving six agains. But yeah, the spectacle of the game, there's more eyes on it than ever before. There's more sponsorship dollars into it ever before, and that engagement's just at an all-time high. You're going to get the older generation, unfortunately, and will be there one day where they might zone off. So I wouldn't mind finding out after this who our mate was who was having a dig.
You
But
can imagine.
it's just been a huge year, and again, there's no sign and it's slowing down.
Let's get to controversies and dummy bits. I've got a bit of a theory on the Galvin exit. I just wonder, because it doesn't make sense to me that the Tigers would offer him the deal and then be so happy for him to leave. I just wonder whether they strategically played that because they actually wanted him gone. And they thought, if we do this, knowing that he doesn't want to stay anyway, we get on the front foot, it makes us look good, it makes him look bad. What if we throw this ridiculous deal at him, knowing he's not going to take it? I don't know. That to me, that makes more sense than the story that's been put out there. Like, why would the Tigers offer him a 5-year deal when there was clearly some tensions?
Something going on. Look, Richardson's been around a long time. This isn't his first rodeo. He's a pretty experienced campaigner. He's won comps from the front office. So I'm quite convinced that it's never meets the eye with Richardson. I don't know how much from the outside reading the press, how much he was at fault, how much his manager was fault, the Tigers, the Bulldogs. Gus has copped a pretty well bagging for the way he went about it. Don't know who's at fault. You probably hope both clubs and the player get on with it, but something doesn't sit right. You're 100% right.
I still think it's the right call from the Dogs. They couldn't win the comp with Toby Sexton at halfback, and I think that showed when he came back in. And it was worth the gamble. And there were glimpses of what the impact that Galvin could have. I think what was really happening is that the Dogs forwards stopped going forward. There was a game about 2 or 3 games from the end. I think they were playing the Tigers, and they couldn't get out of their own end. Like they went literally 15 meters on a set of six. Well, that doesn't matter, mate. Joey could be playing halfback. Thurston could be playing halfback. They're not going to be able to do anything off the back of that.
No, look, I think you're right with the Bulldogs. Their grand plan wasn't to win the comp in 2025, and if you got them all on the quiet, I'm sure they'll all tell you that they overachieved and that they were surprised they did as well as what they did. They're worrying about, they got their eyes on the future. You know, Gus is building those juniors up through, but you know, that middle third that you were talking about earlier about them just getting bashed up, they're just a really small pack, got a couple of injuries, so that's their focus, no question, try and build that middle third up so they're not getting pushed around, especially come semi-final time. You know, it's a different type of rugby league. You know, you can get through the season with a bit of a quicker mobile pack, but when it comes to the business end, you know, you look at the teams that were there at the end. The Raiders have got their big two experienced front rowers. The Broncos have got two of the best in the game. The Panthers, which I already spoke about, their two especially. So, you know, the Bulldogs desperately need that. Knowing Gussie's got a couple of young gun juniors coming through that they've got, but
Leo Thompson as
yeah,
well.
Leo Thompson, that's another one. So that's where they need to go. But I wouldn't be surprised if anyone at the Bulldogs thought that they were going to be leading the comp and do what they did this year. I think they're more worried about next year and the year after.
I agree. I know you're an NRL 360 watcher. I found it, this is probably the hardest. I watched a fair bit of it, but probably the least I've watched. I found it hard watching Gordy cheer for his heart instead of coming from that logic, and I know that, you know, that's what they want him to do. But then I was also disappointed when he kind of flip-flopped at the end when Madge was going well. Like, stick to your guns, mate. Don't backpedal. Like, I would have had more respect if he'd just gone like, no, this is what I think and this is what I still think. But it was almost like trying to make out that he hadn't said the things that he did. Buzz did the same. Ah, just own it, boys. Like, we all make mistakes. I'm sure there's shit that we're going to say on here either today or another time. And, mate, who gives a shit?
Yeah, no, Jamal thought he might win the comp for the right? I hope he does. Well, I hope they come close to the Dragons. Yeah, look. In one way, I don't know Gordy. He went into bat for one of his good mates, Walters, for a long time, for a few years now, right, to get him the job. So I can't knock him. But you're right. The way he backpedaled a little bit wasn't tremendous. And look, whatever you get out of Buzz, that's all I can do. Right? That's all I can do.
Oh, fucking hell. It's funny. Top three players of the year. Now, the obvious, you know, like we talked about Ruth again and again. If you're talking about consistency, you can't go past Teddy. That's an obvious. But for me, the two that I loved for just the performance through the year, Ethan Strange, like just every week. I don't think I think he was right up towards the top few places in the Daly M's, but for a kid in his you know, first full year, like what an athlete. So
Yeah.
good. And he's obviously just a
Yeah.
natural footballer. And then the other one was
Yeah, look, agree, mate. I've got massive raps on him. I think he could do anything. I agree, obviously, Walsh and Teddy. I had May as well. You think he come off the Roosters controversy, went to the Tigers, and he carried that pack on his back. Big minutes. You know, very rarely did he come off for a break. Got through his workload for still a young front rower. His body's still developing. You know, they would have come last again. A lot of other players did well, don't get me wrong, but they would have come last again without him. I thought, you know, coming off you get sacked by the Roosters or not re-signed by the Roosters, that'd knock a bloke around, the ego. For him to do what he did, I thought was pretty special. I had obviously Marky Mark. I won't try to pronounce his last name.
No one gonna need to ask you.
You're all over it. So look, obviously a professional athlete, don't get me wrong, but to come over and did what he did in the game so quickly, normal athlete, and just was pretty spectacular. So
You seen him in the
yeah,
flesh?
no, I haven't. He's a big fella.
Mate, I couldn't believe it. Like on the TV, so when we're out there and like in Nafau White for the Roosters is a big boy, right? And he's
Yeah.
about the biggest on the field. But Marky Mark's right next to him, like, and maybe taller. He's obviously a bit slimmer and more athletic, but just in terms of sheer width and size.
Yep.
Mate, he is enormous.
Huge. Yeah, right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was for him to be so athletic the way he was, was just, yeah,
The flick pass,
was huge.
the double kick when he's hopping out, the flick pass behind the back against Parra, like, mate,
Can I see that?
unbelievable. And
Special.
the other mention for me is Payne Haas, for the obvious, but he clearly was playing busted for that last maybe 5 6 weeks. The 80 minutes against the Raiders, not the Raiders, the Panthers, when Carrigan was out, and just the effort plays, that again, the mental strength, unbelievable.
Huge. He hurt his foot, if I recall, it was the Raiders game. He got through that and played the minutes when Carrigan wasn't there. Just another, again, and he's still a young fella. Just some amazing young talent coming through, mate.
Absolutely. Probably a conversation for another day. I just watch the the they'll spin it and say numbers are increasing because they include Oztag and League Tag and Touch Footy and that sort of stuff. But like, I just look at my area where the number of teams is decreasing, the amount of mergers that are happening, and the amount of controversy around head knocks. Just hope they're making sure that they're replenishing the pot, because it's not going to happen on its own. Origin. Once again, we lose the theory that we should never have lost. To me, they blew it first half game two, when they just got beaten up, as tends to happen, and then they leave it too late. They still could have won it. What's his name? The bench hooker from the Roosters.
Watson.
Watson goes a short blind side when we've got him on the rack, and overlaps everywhere out to the left, and which we could have got across the line in a game we probably had no right to be in. And you just knew we just knew what was going to happen in the last game. So disappointing again.
Well, mate, you say disappointing. I'm past being disappointed about Origin. I just got angry this year. Oh, it's so frustrating. To see you saying you're 26 up at half time in game two after winning the first game. And what happens again? We roll out the best NRL players. We coach them like they're, and it's an NRL game, and we play like it's an NRL game. I just don't get it. You look back at Maguire won the year. He didn't play like that. He played like it was Origin. He picked Cameron McGuinness. You reckon Laurie
Brutality.
Daly or Brad Fittler would ever have picked Cameron McGuinness? I didn't. I don't. I'm not saying he dominated Origin. Don't get me wrong, but it just shows the mentality of the play that they want to pick and the way they want to play. I don't understand. They're our two most experienced Origin. You talk about New South Wales. Daly and Fittler is synonymous with New South Wales rugby league. They've forgotten more than I'll ever know about the sport. But it's just so frustrating that they just keep doing the same thing. I don't know how they don't understand what we're all looking. Queensland are open. I've been lucky enough to be to a few corporate events up here, and the Queensland Origin, the Fogs and the team, they're open about it. They don't even hide it anymore that New South Wales are playing NRL football and Queensland are playing Origin football, and you wonder why the result is what it is. I just it drives me crazy. I'm so frustrated about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, it comes from the selections, including the coach. That let's look at our best coaches in the last 20 years, which have been few and far between. But really, it's down to Madge and Ricky Stewart. I don't even know if Ricky falls into the last 20 years, because it's that mongrel. It's like that, like that. We,
You
I think
could
that's.
list 20 Queensland all-time greats that would never ever have gotten a game for New South Wales.
Never.
Just New South Wales go out and pick the best 17 NRL players they can get their hands on, right? And it's just not. This isn't the early 90s when you've got a great batch of players coming through that play that hard football because they all come from Newcastle. They all come from Wollongong and they all come from Canberra where they're used to playing that style of football, right? It is so frustrating. Origin rolls around. We got to game two, and I'm just sitting there knowing that we're going to lose the series. Like, it's just Groundhog Day. It's kills me.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if we look at blokes like Katoni Thags, he'd have played 10 Origins by now.
Let's hope they
Who
pick
else?
Ethan Strange, mate, because he's got Origin written all over him.
Oh, 100%. Like, you can see Katoa and Strange being the Haas for a long time. Be interesting to see how long they persist with Nathan if he continues to not be able to get the job done. I feel like I think that's starting to weigh on him mentally, just by how he spoke afterwards. Oh, I'm just so disappointed I couldn't get it done. I'm sorry to everyone that I let down, all those sort of things. I think it's now it has become an issue for him from that perspective.
Yeah,
And
geez, I hope not, because he's just a great, and I don't know whether how much of it's his fault rather than who's around him and how they're playing. They play this deep NRL style football, and Queensland are just all over him. They know Queensland's going to be offside, right? It's state of origin. If they haven't figured that out yet, they're watching the wrong game. They play this deep football, and so I don't know how much of it's Cleary's fault and how much of it isn't, but I just hope they put the right team on the paddock with the right mentality about how they're going to play the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's not take anything away from Queensland, because once again, they were just too good, simply too good, and played the game how it should be played.
Interestingly, I had Adam Mogg on for the podcast, and we recorded it. You probably listened. We recorded it after game one, and he was like, "Oh, I've got to be honest. Like, I can't see how we're going to win." Like, this is even for someone who, obviously would have drunk the Kool-Aid and believes in the Queensland spirit and folklore, and yet I said to him, "I'm like, mate, don't like I've fallen for that trap before. Like, I believe it when I see it." And they just laugh at us. You poor bastard, having to live up there with them. You must just keep your status pretty low profile, do you?
Keep it quiet.
Oh, actually, I've seen a photo of you at Origin wearing your 4X shirt.
Yeah, you've got to do what you've got to do to get a 4X if you want it. I am a proud 4X drinker, let's put it that way.
Very good. Mate, I really enjoyed this. Let's hope more than one or two people actually enjoy listening. But we'll get you on again to talk. We'll be talking Ashes, and I know you're fully immersed in cricket with a young fella doing some really good stuff. And so I don't know how we're going to get through from where we are now. I guess the Indian Australian cricket started. Find it hard to get up for the one days at this point, but we'll find something to waffle about. And solid, actually beyond solid. Fantastic first up appearance, Steve. Well played.
No, appreciate it, mate. It's always great to catch up with you, mate. And talking rugby league, I could do it all day long, mate. So it was great, and appreciate the opportunity.
Good man.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.